And that's what I want to talk about today, is that God is preparing us for more. There's more of Him than what we've experienced. If we had experienced everything that God wanted us to experience in this life, you know what? We'd be in heaven. But there's more that God wants you to experience, and there's more that God wants to flow through you to others for them to experience. You may be the only Jesus Christ that somebody sees on this earth. You may be the only representation of Jesus on this earth. So as Jesus poured into His disciples and left things in our hands as His disciples, He wants us to carry forth His word. And you say, well, I'm not good enough to do that. Yes, you are. If Peter was good enough, you're good enough. And I'm good enough. Yes, we make mistakes and we're far from perfect, but thank God He loves us anyway, and He's called us to fulfill His purpose here on earth. Amen? So today will be part three of Get Ready for More. Our focus scripture in the series is Ephesians 3:20. This is what Ephesians 3:20 says. Now to Him who is able to do, speaking of Jesus Christ, capital H, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Those are three huge words. All that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Aren't you thankful? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You know that there are some here today that need encouraging. We need encouraging. We need Your word. We need to see You, to draw closer to You. So, Father, I thank You that through the words that I speak, it comes under Your anointing and under Your direction, that You receive the glory, honor, and praise, that we all draw closer to You. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. God promises to provide for us everything we need. There's not anything that you need that Jesus has not said that He'll provide. He'll provide everything. And not only that, as we face obstacles in this life, He has promised to help us to overcome, to conquer those obstacles as well. There's not anything that you cannot face and overcome and be victorious in. Nothing. You say, well, if you only knew what I was facing. I understand. There are fights that you'll fight. There are victories to be won, and Jesus Christ has the power, has the strength, has everything that you need to overcome every obstacle that you face, no matter what the challenge is. And so in that, what is important, what I want to focus on today, is our faith in God and having the prayer of faith. How powerful faith is. I mean, the simple things that we trust in, we put the key in the car, we turn the ignition, we have faith that it's going to crank up, we go to the back wall, flip on the light switch, we have faith that the light switch will come on. But what about our faith in God? What about those things that we ask Him to do and we really don't really believe that He's going to do it, but we pray anyway? What would happen if we had the prayer of faith knowing that He was going to do what we prayed that needed to be done? How would that change our life that we knew that Jesus Christ would fulfill every purpose in our life and cause us to overcome those obstacles that we face? We prayed for Miss Pam Brown this week and was there in the hospital as she underwent a procedure this past week and went home yesterday. And we know that God is with her. We know that her cancer is in remission because Jesus has answered our prayers. There's nothing too big for God. Nothing too big for God. And so James speaks of the prayer of faith that Elijah prayed. In James 5:17-18, James speaks of Elijah. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. There you go. He was just like us. Elijah was like us. We talked a couple weeks ago about the struggles that Elijah had. He was depressed. He was on the verge of suicide. He was upset. He was scared. He was fearful. He ran for his life. All those things that sometimes we're guilty of doing. And we feel guilty for doing it. And we say, well, God can't love me because I was depressed. I've been depressed. I've been fearful. All these things. I've been afraid and not knowing what's going to happen. Well, Elijah was the same way. James notates that. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years, 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was human just like us, but he prayed earnestly. And so in the story of Elijah, breaking down the story of James, what he's referring to here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 says this, Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." Well, remember, this scripture is speaking of the time that there had not been any rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Talking about a drought. It was dry. I mean, we go a month without rain and we think, what are we going to do? And we do need rain. But 3.5 years with no rain, not a drop of rain. And so it was to the extent that they didn't know how they were going to grow the crops. They didn't know if the animals were going to live or not. They were seeking water just to try to keep things going, down in the creeks, doing things extreme just to try to keep things going. And so there had been no rain. And so Elijah's saying to Ahab, "Go up. There's about to be a rain." Can you imagine the look on Ahab's face? But we know that Elijah has faith in his heart that he knew that God was going to do something. And so in 1 Kings 18:5, it shows us how devastating this time was. 1 Kings 18:5 says, "And an Ahab said to Obadiah, 'Go into the land to all the springs of water. Go to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass.'" It's doubtful, but maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. That's pretty extreme. But then in 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said, "Go up, eat, and drink." So this was a prayer of faith. How can we obtain that prayer of faith? How can we know that God is going to answer our prayer? How can we know that God is going to meet our need? How can we know that God will make provision in our life when we see no other way? The first is the prayer of obedience is always linked to obedience. The prayer of faith is always linked to obedience. Obedience and faith go hand in hand. The Bible says faith without works, faith without obedience is what? It's not faith at all. It's dead. There is no faith unless we obey what God has instructed us to do. And so sometimes that means that we need to act like something is being done even when it's not being done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see that. If we saw it, we wouldn't have to have faith. It would already be there. I don't have to have faith that this podium is here because it's already there. Faith would be if I don't see that podium there and I say, "I need a podium." I see a podium right there and a podium comes. So God can do anything. Faith is seeing that thing before we see it in our spiritual eyes, before we see it in our physical eyes. But it requires obedience on our part. Well, Elijah had that word about going up and seeing the rain. As a matter of fact, it was a risky word. What if Elijah was wrong? What if Elijah didn't know what he was talking about? What if Elijah was just saying that? Sometimes we say that. Sometimes, well, that's just me talking. Yeah, I don't really know if that's God or not. Has anybody ever said that? I don't know if that's God or not. So my answer to that is it giving glory to God? Is it reflecting God? Is it founded in the Word of God? If it is, if it meets all three of those things, it's from God. But how can you be so sure? Because the devil is not going to give you a word that's out of God's Word, that glorifies God, that's encouraging to God's people. And so if it comes through you and through your mouth, that's exactly what happened to Elijah. That's good. God uses you to speak His Word. God uses you to speak faith, to portray faith, but it requires obedience. Well, I'm scared to obey God because I think if I'm wrong, what's going to happen? What would they think about me if I'm wrong and I say that and doesn't come true? Well, faith in God requires obedience. And our obedience to God must be instant. Our obedience to God has to be ready. In other words, it has to be ready to go before we have time to think about it. God, I know you said go, but let me be sure. Let me get everything in order. Give me a day or two. As a matter of fact, could you give me a couple of years? That way I could get everything in line. I remember when we've been here as your senior pastor for 11 and a half years, and seems like 2 months. I mean, it just flies by. They say when you're having fun, time flies. Well, obviously that's correct. Because we love it. We love it. But before we were here, There was a time that we asked God, God, are you sure? Why? Because we were looking at our own abilities rather than God's abilities. See, God's abilities are unlimited. Our abilities, we look at ours and we say, well, I know what I can do and I know what I can't do and I can't do that. And so our obedience breaks through the barrier of our abilities and gives room for God to show forth his abilities. But we must be instant. We must be ready to do what God says do when he says do it. And you can get to that place. You can be so in tune with God, even just like Elijah was. Elijah was just like us, James said. But Hebrews 11:8 speaks of Abraham. Abraham is called our father of faith in the Bible. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. When he was called out to go to a place, look at the obedience of Abraham. When he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And so that's the eagerness to obey God, even without having the answer to where you're going. And so God knows our heart when we're prepared. God may just test us to see how far we will go and to see if we're instant in the obedience to him before he gives you the actual assignment that he's wanting to plan for you. In other words, God will prepare you before he sends you. And so God is, I believe, preparing us today for something more. There, God is preparing us to receive something more that he has, and he wants to test us on the first step before he gives us the second step. And we're saying, well, God, show me the next 10 steps, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to go or not. And that'd be nice. That'd be nice if God would do that. But so far, he doesn't do that. That's not the way he works. He wants to test our faith so that our faith will build more, so that we trust him more, so that we experience more. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going, had no idea where he was going. But we know that Abraham was successful in his walk with God because he trusted God. He had faith in God. Abraham obeyed God. A guaranteed way to build our faith in God is to obey instantly, where it takes us outside of our comfort zone, outside of our abilities. Someone said earlier this morning, it's amazing how God just takes us right out of our comfort zone just like that. He gives us no warning and says, get out there and do it. And you know what? You do it. And if you stumble and fall, he's still there to pick you up and say, let's do it again. The first time Josh and Jordan got on a bicycle, they fell down a few times. You know what? They got back on that seat and tried again. Now, they can ride a bicycle. Several years ago, we were on a cruise together and found out one guy can ride a unicycle about 40 feet in the air. And so depending on what God wants you to do, he will prepare you to do that thing. It doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you won't fall. Thank God in his grace and his mercy, he gives us the faith to do what he's called us to do, and he's there to keep us going, to keep us moving. He will not leave you alone. He will not send you out and say, okay, you're on your own now. But he's always with us. He's always with us to encourage us. But the longer we wait to obey God, the more doubt that comes in our mind. The more doubt comes in our mind, there's no room for faith. Doubt moves faith out of the way. And so if we have time to think about it, consider it, we want to put nuts and bolts to it. We want to know what it's going to look like, the color, how it's going to operate, what it's going to do. And sometimes we talk ourselves right out of obeying God. Matter of fact, I've had some people tell me that they've experienced God in a great way. God spoke this to me, and then when I talked to them a few days later, they questioned whether God actually spoke to them or not. Why? Because they thought about it from the physical sense. Well, Mike, I'm not sure if that was really God or not. Maybe some of us have said that. You know what? The more I think about it, I think that was just me. I don't think that was God after all. Well, what happened, we took time to think about that thing rather than walking in what God said and what he did and knowing that it was God. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And whatever way he can do that, even talking us out of our own experience with God, he will do that. But we've got to have the prayer faith in God. We've got to trust God to the point that we trust him even when doubt tries to enter in. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that doubt won't try to enter in. Absolutely it will. We saw it happen in Elijah's life as we were talking last week. So the devil will try to come and to steal your faith, to steal your joy, to steal that security in him. He'll do that this afternoon, tomorrow, Tuesday. That's why our walk with God is a daily walk. It's a daily prayer of faith. Because that thing will come into your life at your weakest moment, at your weakest point, and he'll try to push that button. It could be a temper issue. Spoke to someone not long ago and called me and said, "I need you to pray with me. I've got a problem with my temper. That thing is, I've been doing fine for a long time. Now all of a sudden this certain thing happened and I lost my temper and I feel awful." I said, "Well, you can do this. You can do this. Number one, know that God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself and keep going. Get up and keep going." And so we know even when we fail, God is with us. So in that weakest moment when the devil tries to come in and steal your faith, steal your joy, and steal the security of knowing Christ, we still can have faith in him and have a prayer of faith and know that God will do what he says he will do. Cast out all the doubt and hold on to God's word. Elijah called fire down from heaven. How could he do that? Because he cultivated a relationship and a prayer of faith in God. He knew that God was able to do that, and he instantly obeyed God and saw God work in his life, and even to the point of calling fire down from heaven. We can't reason everything in our life. "Well, Miss Allie, how could you smell that when nobody else smelled that?" So you see, we pick things apart sometimes to the extent of, "Well, did I really smell that?" Of course you really smelled that. You wouldn't have stood here and said that you did. And so God wants to do great things in your life, and it might be just for you. And so we don't need to reason those things out and reason them and try to put a definition on what God is trying to do. Many times we have to know, well, how can God raise somebody up from the dead? Maybe they really weren't dead after all. Maybe they were just sleeping and didn't have a pulse. You see what I'm saying? We can reason things out to the point that we need to trust God. There's a lot more going on around us than what we can see. There's a spiritual foundation around us, and what God is doing in your life, in this church, in this area, and around this globe, that we don't know what he's doing. But we have faith in him to know that he is doing what he says he'll do. Second lesson of prayer faith is hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. God usually, to me, doesn't speak in a loud, audible voice like a concert. "Mike, what are you doing? Mike, I've got a word for you." He might do that. And I'll know it if he does. But it's usually in the still, small voice because he wants me to give my attention to him. I mean, he has kept me up at night from sleeping. He has done that to get my attention and to tell me things that he wanted me to know that I was too busy during the day to hear. So he got me in a place where I wasn't sleeping at night to where he said, "Okay, knucklehead, I will talk to you now because you're not going to be sleeping. And you're still and you can't be out and about. It's not daylight, so you're going to stay at home and now you're going to hear me." So there's a way that he can get our attention, but it's even then the still small voice that he speaks to us that we have to listen. Intently listen to hear God's voice. Elijah said in 18:41, we just read this, 1 Kings 18:41, "Go up and eat and drink." Watch this next line. "For there is the sound of abundance rain." He didn't hear thunder. He didn't see lightning. He didn't see the wind blowing. He saw no evidence of an abundance of rain, but he heard something. He said, "There's a sound." What did he hear? He heard the voice of God. Why didn't Ahab hear it? Why didn't anybody else hear it? Was he hallucinating? Was he making things up? I don't think so, because we see the fruit of what was going on in just a moment. He heard the sound of abundance of rain. When we're in tune with God, when we have an ear for God, it's not that God's not speaking. You say, well, God's not talking to me. You're not listening. If nothing else, you can read this to yourself and you'll hear God talking. That's God's word, right? And so we can read the words off of this page, and as you read it out loud, your ears are hearing God speak to you, because those are God's words. Ahab heard something. He heard a sound. He didn't hear the rain because there was no rain at this point. There was no rain. There was no thunder. There was nothing that he could hear. But he heard something. He heard a sound. He didn't see signs. Sometimes you can smell the rain before it gets here. Where we live, we hear the frogs croaking. Man, there's a whole choir of them out there about 10 minutes before it starts raining. He didn't hear the frogs croaking. He knew that rain was coming because he heard the voice of God. There are things that God wants to speak to you that someone else may not ever know. God could be speaking something to you to warn you, to prepare you, to speak encouragement to you. I find that usually when somebody shares a word with me, it's once something that God already spoke to me and he uses them to confirm it. God has spoke something to me and I'm mulling that thing over. And then God sends somebody else along to either text me or call me or face-to-face and say, Mike, I felt like the other day so-and-so, so-and-so, and my mouth hits the floor. I said, well, did you know that the other day God spoke the same thing to me and now you just confirmed it? God is speaking. It could be God is speaking something to you that no one else will know. Ahab didn't know what God was speaking to Elijah, but Elijah knew that it was the voice of God. There is a sound of abundance of rain. Over 300 times in the Bible it says, and the Lord said. Over 300 times. God is speaking. God spoke. He's speaking. God continues to speak. And so we know that our faith comes, Romans 10:17, just make a note that our faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is the word of God. And so sometimes if we don't hear God, it's because we're not spending enough time with God. You've heard me say it before. If you spend more time reading other books than you do God's word, you're going away from hearing God. There's nothing wrong with other books, but this is the book. This is the main book. We got to make this book priority. If this book isn't priority over everything else you're reading and listening to, then just know that God wants you to listen and read his word. No condemnation. But we need to be focused on the word of God. We need to hear God's word, because this is where our faith comes from. We will lack faith if we don't read and listen to the word of God. We will lack faith. We'll have doubt. Well, can God do that? Read this. You read this enough and think about it enough, you'll know that God can do anything. There's not anything that God can't do. You may feel like today that you've gone so far that God can't reach you. God can do anything. As long as there's breath in your body. And God has on a time or two, even with breath out of the body, he still brought him around. Nothing is impossible with God. But God's voice always aligns with his word. When we hear God speaking to us, we'll know that it's him, because it always aligns with his word. He will not say anything that contradicts his word. This is the very foundation of everything that he says. Everything that he will do in your life, this is the foundation of it right here, God's word. Everything that he does in my life. And so sometimes we need to spend time with God's word, so when we do get into those predicaments where I have trouble trusting God, I have trouble believing God's word, write a scripture down. Read it in the morning. Read it in the afternoon. Either memorize it or put it on the fridge. Put it the place that you go the most. The fridge. The steering wheel. Your desk. Your computer. Whatever. Put that scripture there so that every time you see it, you're reminded of, yes, God can do this. Well, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, what do you say? God can do this. If doesn't happen by next Saturday, God can do this. But God's not on our timetable. Say, okay, God, you've got 48 hours, and I need this done. Man went into a restaurant one time and wanted some soup. He said, I'd like some turtle soup and make it snappy. Well, we know that God will do what he says do no matter how long it takes. Amen? No matter how long it takes. Crystal and I pray every morning, and just a few mornings ago we were praying, and I felt in my heart as we were standing there holding hands praying, agreeing, and we pray every day. But I said something that morning that I don't normally say, and there's a situation going on in a family's life that we knew about. And I spoke, this is what I said. I said, Lord, I pray that this situation, the answer will be met before the end of today. I don't normally say that, but I felt in my heart to pray that. And then I said it before I even realized what I said. And so we said amen. I went on and we went through the course of our day. And I got home that afternoon. She said, do you know what happened today? I said, what are you talking about? She said, do you remember what you prayed this morning before you left? And so she recited back to me what I just told you. She said, a little while ago, the answer came and it's done. And so, amen, glory to God. That's right. So our prayer of faith changes things. Our prayer of faith, see, God is waiting to hear from us. Are we in agreement with God's word? If we're in agreement with God's word, he's not limited. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. We agree with God's word. We pray the prayer of faith and whatever you need, whatever you're asking God for, and believe that it will be done. And the third lesson to the prayer of faith is this. It accomplishes the impossible. The prayer of faith accomplishes the impossible. What impossible situation are you facing today? What thing is beyond your control? What thing that you can say, I don't see how this is going. If this would happen, oh Lord, it would be so wonderful. I just can't see it happening. Well, see it happening. Pray the prayer of faith. Leave it in God's hands. Don't try to take control over it yourself. And know that the prayer of faith accomplishes the impossible. God can do things. God will do. God is doing greater things than what we could ever do. And we sometimes pray to God on the framework of our ability, as I said earlier. We pray to God, God, if you can do this, there's the first sign of doubt right there. God, if you can do this, I know I can't, but if you can, I'd like for you to, by the end of the day, maybe meet their need and make this thing work out. Or we can pray, God, I ask you in Jesus' name that this thing will be done by the end of the day. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not commanding God. God, I command you to. That's not me. I don't. But we can ask. The Bible says to ask, seek, and knock. That's what the word said. Ask, seek, and knock. Now we do have the authority of Jesus Christ in us to come against the devils that we face. Jesus has given us that authority. But our prayer of faith can accomplish anything that is impossible. We act in obedience. We hear God's inaudible voice. We hear God's voice. We know that he's speaking. We don't know how we hear it. We can't explain it. We don't have to. But we know that we're hearing God's voice. And then we experience the impossible. We can complicate it. We can fluff it up. But that's the really principle. That's the nitty-gritty of the Word of God. And that's the way Jesus worked. That's the way Jesus worked in Elijah's life. God worked in Elijah's life. In 1 Kings 18, the next verse, verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up on the top of Carmel. That's a mountain there. He went on top of Carmel. That wasn't a big chocolate mound. That was that's the first thing I think of when I read it. Amen. Is anybody with me? Of course, we've got to get food in there somewhere. went on top of Carmel, Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Now, is that a requirement to pray? No. But you know what? When I need an answer from God, when I'm serious about seeking God's face, when I am desperate, when I am passionate, when I am hungry, my prayer will look a little different than when it looks when I'm in my easy chair. Does God hear me when I'm in my easy chair? Yes, he does, because I pray there every morning too. I pray for our little 8-year-old Dotson that has prostate cancer. I pray for him every morning. I pray. God bless our day. God, everything that's done today, may align with you. May you protect, may you lead, may you guide, may you give wisdom, may you give knowledge, may you do what you want to do today. And God, I pray for these things. But you know what? When I'm at a point of desperation, and I've been, I get out of that chair and I get on my knees and I put my face to the floor. Does God hear me anymore? No, but my heart is sure in it a little bit more than what it is in the easy chair. God hears me the same way, but my attitude's just a little different. And so Elijah took the liberty to get down on the ground. And he prayed. He could have stood up. He could have raised his hands. He could have sat on his little wooden stool. He could have done anything. But he got on the ground, the Bible says. He bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he still didn't see any sign of God's answer. But Elijah's heart was in tune with God. See, what happens when we really get serious with God, we eliminate all the distractions. Sometimes in my easy chair, I'm a little distracted. Either the sun's coming up, or my stomach's growling, something's going on. And so I'm not totally focused many times on God. Are y'all with me? But when I really get serious with God, when I am, God, I need an answer, my heart lines up with God. He doesn't get out of his chair. Maybe he does. I'm saying God is still God. God is still God in the easy chair or on the floor, but my attitude changes. My focus comes to the focus of God. My mind is solely and totally on him, to where I blocked out everything else. Elijah prayed. He prayed. James says, as we read earlier, Elijah prayed earnestly. He didn't say he prayed, period. And that's powerful enough. But sometimes we pray so much the same thing that it becomes a ritual. I mean, it's good to have good habits, and good habits are praying. But prayer's got to be more than a habit. It's got to be more than a ritual. We're going to take communion in just a little while, in a few moments. And as we take communion, as our mind is on Christ, it's got to be more than just a ritual. It's got to be something that more than just going through the motions. When we get serious about God, when we really want to hear God's voice, when we really want to touch heaven and see things happen in our life, we want to block out everything else. Elijah prayed earnestly. Have you been there before? The urgency, the fervency of prayer, of reaching God? Well, as I said, we've had plenty of opportunities to do that. Josh, at 18 years old, in a four-wheeler accident, didn't know if he was living, breathing, got to the place out in the middle of the woods, and face bloody, face on the ground, didn't know whether he was conscious. We had time to get before God. God saw it. He wasn't surprised by it. But you know what? We shook heaven. And then 11 years ago, Jordan had a brain tumor before she was married, and air flighted to Atlanta, Emory, and not knowing if she was going to live or die. If she lived, would she be Jordan or would she be a vegetable? The doctors couldn't tell us. We bombarded heaven. We've been there. there has to be an expectancy in our prayer of faith that we know that God is going to do what he said he will do. Crystal reminded me the other day that Jordan was taken to Atlanta on that April day back in 2011, April 2nd, 2011, air flighted. And so that was on a Saturday. We were up there on Sunday. But the following week, I drove back home, and I was in this pulpit the next Sunday. And somebody said, how can you preach this morning? Somebody said before the service on that Sunday morning, how can you preach? How can I not preach? Because I've got faith in God that Jordan will be Jordan. She will be healed. She had surgery that following Thursday. You know the rest. She sings, she worships. Amen. Has two beautiful children, wife of Tim, and they do great. Our son, he's a doctor of English in Fayetteville State, North Carolina, Fayetteville State University, FSU. And God uses Josh. He's a worship pastor at his church and teaches English too. South Georgia boy teaching English. That's a miracle within itself right there. But we have to expect God is going to do what he said he would do. In 1 Kings 18:43, it says, and Elijah said to a servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went and looked, and this is what his servant said. There's nothing. There's nothing, Elijah. You said go up and look, and I looked, and there is nothing. But Elijah was expecting. He was still expecting. He heard what the servant said. He heard him say, there's nothing. But it goes on to say in that scripture, and seven times he said, Elijah said, go again. Seven times. Do we have that in us? Do we have that much faith in God to say, go again? Do we have that much faith in God to know that he's going to answer your prayer? He was convicted to pray seven times. I was mailed a little booklet this past week. And I got this Friday. The person that mailed this to me had no idea what I was talking about today. No idea. And I was reading this book. This is what it says in the foreword. It's been my privilege to watch the transformation that took place in my dad's life after the Holy Spirit revealed the principle of calling things. The name of the book, by the way, is Calling Things That Are Not. One summer day, I was summoned to the kitchen where the table was piled with notes and mortgages, debts owed to the bank. Dad said, I want you to be a witness that I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. He pointed his finger at the papers on the table and said, notes, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Jesus said you would obey me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you. I say you be paid in full. Dematerialize. Depart. Be gone. In Jesus' name, you will obey me. Then he just walked off. I stood there thinking, I guess he just let those notes absorb his words. Those papers certainly looked like a mountain of debt to me, but I really didn't doubt because I didn't expect that they had any choice but to obey the name of Jesus. Next, we drove to the property that was security for the debt. Dad rolled down the window and shouted, listen to me, I'm talking to you. Someone is impressed with you, and you will be a blessing to someone. I call you sold in Jesus' name. And then we drove off. I later learned from him that when the property didn't sell right away and doubt began to enter his mind, he drove by the property again, rolled the window down, and said, ha, 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 laughing at them, and released faith that no matter what it looked like, the property was sold. He called things that were not as though they were, calling the property sold and the debts paid off until it manifest. Over the next few months, the property sold. All those notes and debts on the kitchen table were paid in full. Sure enough, the debt was gone. Expectancy. Expectancy. This is what 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 28 says. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That's the word of God. Jesus established the end results. He spoke to things and they obeyed. Jesus called for peace in the storm, remember? Jesus called for peace in the storm. Jesus called the lepers clean. People couldn't even touch the lepers, and Jesus called them clean. Jesus called the water wine. Jesus called the crooked path straight. Jesus called the dead living. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Our hope, our eternity, the very next breath I breathe, is faith in God, not by sight. It's not by sight. It's what we know in Christ. And so Elijah experienced God's miracle, but he had to pray seven times. Why did he have to pray seven times? That's something that we would ask. That's something I would ask. Why couldn't he pray one time, God? Did you not hear him? Maybe the second time, maybe you did. Third, fourth, fifth? Did you know that Elijah could have prayed twice and not ever seen the miracle of God? He could have prayed three times and stopped and said, he doesn't hear me. He could have prayed four times, stopped, never experienced God's miracle. Five times, stopped, never saw God's miracle. Some of you are here today and you've prayed six times and you're tired. And I understand. But Elijah prayed seven times before he saw the miracle of God. Anything short of obeying what God wanted him to do, he would not have seen the miracle in his life. The experience in God is true. It's real. He controls the outcome, but he needs us to be obedient with what he say and do. Where are you today? I believe the Lord's waiting on us. I do. There are some great things that he wants to do in your life, in your family's life, in your finances, in your health, in your future. But we must continue in prayer earnestly, the prayer of faith that God wants us to pray. And in 1 Kings 18:44-45, it says, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, the servant said to Elijah, there is a cloud. On the seventh time, there's a cloud that is as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, go ahead and warn him, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. In other words, there's about to be some rain. I see the little hand and it's about to start. You're forewarned. Get the buggy loaded and get out. And so now it happened. Verse 45, now it happened. In the meantime, that the sky became black with clouds. It wasn't already black with clouds. See, Elijah called it, and he knew it before he saw the black cloud. He knew there was rain coming. But now it happened. In the meantime, while this was happening, that the sky became black with clouds and wind. Now the wind starts, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. See, James said, this is an awesome story of Elijah, but we know that Elijah dealt with fear. He dealt with depression. He dealt with agony. He dealt with not trusting God at one point. If you're here today, God says, pray earnestly to me. Seek my face. Be obedient. Know that I'm speaking to you. Know that I want to bring about the impossible in your life. It's going to be through the hand of God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. Not just a ritual, not just a habit, but to earnestly pray and to seek God. Come on, Crawford. Then in 1 Kings 18, verse 46, it says, "Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran ahead. Ahab was on chariots. He was being pulled by horses." And we know that Elijah was a pretty good sportsman, he was in pretty good shape, pretty good athlete, because then he ran ahead of Ahab, it says. He ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want us to stand together this morning, and I want to pray that God will just infuse us today with a prayer of faith, that we will seek God like never before, that we will trust God like never before, that we will see our faith stirred up, and that we will know that He will do what He says He will do. My God does not fail. He does not fail. He can do anything. What are you believing Him for today?